Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Nida Yud Ches. We begin 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. This pertains to yesterday's discussion. We learned that if an Isha discovers Dam in an area where it's an unknown, it could have come from the womb, which produces Dam Nida. It could have come from elsewhere, from the Aliyah, from the Upi area, which produces Dam, which is Tar. Which way do we go? So back at the Mishnah, on your Dino days, the Mishnah closes with a statement as follows. Nimtza b'proizdar, the Dam was discovered in this canal, which could have been sourced from either direction. Could have been from upstairs, which is Tar, could have been from the Makar, which is Tameh. Sefeikai Tameh. This type of uncertainty is stamped as tummy. Why? Because we presume that, look, most likely, most blood comes from the mocker. So the roiv factor will override even the fact that she had a cheskas tahara. That's a big chidush. She had a status of tahar up until now. So why not just maintain that status? No, lefisha cheskosu min hamocker is presumed to come from the mocker. Most dam comes from there. We have to assume it's from there. Says Rabbi Yechanan, this isn't the only time in Shas. We'll roiv. We'll trump. Chazaka. In fact, I can list you three times where Chacham adopted the Rav element and treated it like a Vade, as if we know for sure. And it overrides all other opposition, whether it is a Chazaka against that or a Mew. The Rav overrides. Which three? Makar, our discussion, Shilya, and Chaticha. Makar, that's Hadamar, that's what we're talking about the last couple of days. Shilya, what's that? That's not. We have a Mishnah. Shilya Babayas, we discover an embryonic sac in the house. Now, the sac is not a fetus, it's not an offspring. So there's no tumor coming from it. Habayas Tame. Still, all items under the same, you know, roof are Tame. Veloisha Shilya Vlad, not because the Shilya itself is a Vlad that conveys tumor upon its passing, Elosh Ein Shilya B'lei Vlad, rather because the Shilya itself is presumed to contain a Vlad. Most times, the sac contains some sort of fetus, which will now convey Tumah after its passing. Rav Shimon Oimer, even so, is no issue because whatever was in there dissolved and liquefied and became nullified in other liquid, other materials that were present. Rav Shimon Oimer, Nimekah Vlad, the Vlad dissolved actually yet before it emerged. So according to Tanakhama, there's Tumah because of Raif. Most Shilya have a Vlad. And we give it definite Tumah status. Third item is Chaticha. This pertains to the Tumas Leda that an Isha experiences post-birth, provided it's a proper fetus, properly formed, which has potential to develop further and actually live. The Sanya, Amapelas Yad Chatuch. Now you don't see a fully formed anything, you just see a hand. Chatucha, it does convey the impression of a hand. It has the detailed, you know, has the configuration, has the fingers. Likewise, a leg, which seems formed like a proper leg. What shall we assume? It's coming from a proper fetus? In which case, imoit me'aleda, it's considered like she gave birth, like she discharged a proper fetus, and she has tumas later. The answer is yes. Vein chayshish in shemim guf atam bas. So imo yismei later, we don't speculate that maybe it was sourced in a guf atam, some sort of deformed entity, which does not trigger tumas later. Because most times, if you see a properly formed limb, it's probably sourced, probably came off a proper fetus. So in these three cases, we find that the roiv element trumps everything else. It goes against the chazaka, all kinds of, because roiv determines status. Asks the Gemara, are these the only three examples that roiv determines status? Pusul leka, there's no more. What about the classic story with the nine stores, the sanya, teisha chanuyos? So you walk into town, and there are nine stores kulon meichro is basar shchut, selling kosher meat. Va'achas meicheres basar nevelim. There's one for the guy selling nevelim meat, and he purchased meat from one store, and he can't remember which one. Lokach me'achas man, v'niyadei he can't recall meizim in lokach where he purchased his meat. In this case, you would think, well, right, more chances that he bought kosher. No, sveika osur. This uncertainty stays osur. And the reason is because Rashi says, kol kavua, when something is established in its element, in its place, it's separate. Each store is separate and distinct. You can't consider all the stores as just elements in the same equation. They don't connect to each other as separate entities. And since his uncertainty relates to his association with one of those establishments, his question wasn't, I found it in the street, I don't know where. That's the next story. He purchased, he went over to an established entity, purchased meat from there. And he can't recall it. Was it this one? Was it the other? So each one's separate and distinct with respect to this type of uncertainty. So it's like a 50-50 chance. Sveika osur, you gotta go lochomer. Uve nimtza, however, finds a piece of meat in the street. Here's just a question of the status of the meat itself. Now, more chances that it came from the kosher stores. Here we can say, follow the majority element. That's called pirish. Rashi says, called the pirish, when something was separated from a broader, you know, equation. He found it separate. Miruba pirish, you can assume it came from the more pronounced element of that equation. 9 out of 10 are kosher, we assume it's kosher. Okay, here's another example. We'll rive determines status. So why wasn't this on Rabbi Yechana's list? Oh, Tumah Kamrina, we're speaking about Tumah questions. Yesur Loi Kamrina, we're not discussing questions of Kashrus and Isur. So you're right, but it's on a different category. But Ika, really, okay, but in Tumah as well, I'll find you another case. Teisha Tzvardim, Sheret Zechad Menehim. A pile of dead creatures, 9 are frogs, which don't convey Tumah, and there's a lizard which does convey Tumah. He knows he touched one, not sure which one. There's no which one he touched. So it depends where we're standing. We should say, in the private area, so he could tell me. When there's a suffix tumah, we know we learned this from Saita, you have to assume that he would tell me. But she's rambling out in the street, so he could tell you. And again, because, as Rashi explains, this is like the fellow purchased from a store, not sure which one. So he has to relate to an established entity. She says, "Sheretz kavua beinim havalei kemechsa mechsa." It's a pile. Each one has its own distinctness in that pile. In which case, since you don't know which one you touch in that pile, it's a 50-50 chance. You can't say, "Well, most likely I touched." No, each one is separate and distinct, and there's no majority element to work with. Uvenimtza, but if one of these creatures had separated from the bunch, and somebody there touched it, now he's not sure. What was it that he touched? What was the item that separated from the bunch? So here it's like the meat found the street. 9 out of 10 chances is that it's kosher meat. Here as well, 9 out of 10 chances are that it's something which doesn't convey tumah. So if it's a pile, it's considered kavua in its place, and you can't say, well, most likely, most chances. No, and each one has its own chashiva. It's called kavua, and it's a 50-50 chance. But if it's separated from the bunch, it loses that distinctness, and you follow the roiv. Okay, so roiv determines status. Why isn't this on Rabbi Yechon's list? You're right, but tumah disha kamrina. Rabbi Yechanan is just listing cases of tumah that relates to a woman. Tumas nida, tumas leida, tumah ba'alma, general, you know, tumah issues, like Amrinan, was not on my list. Vayikahod Amar Bishom Levi, what about this case, which is an isha tumah issue? Avar Banar Vipila, turned out it's a woman passed through the river and she had discharged something inside the water, and we don't know what it is. Rashi says on the top line, Vinya Duam Vlad, we don't know if it's a valid Vlad, which would trigger tumas leida, or whether it was just some sort of, you know, discharge which doesn't qualify for tumas later, mavia korban benechal. So we say, look, most likely, most women give birth to properly formed fetuses, somewhat developed fetuses, which trigger tumas later. So she brings a korban, you know, the bird, the chatas oif, and the kohen eats it without any qualms. Halech achar roiv nashim, follow the majority of women, for roiv nashim vlad ma'al yodim, most likely. Women give birth to proper vlads. I don't say it's just, you know, some unidentifiable material or whatever. It's a fetus. So here's number four. Why isn't this on Rabbi Yechon's list? Masnisen kamrina, shmaisel kamrina. The answer is, Rabbi Yechon would say, look, I'm quoting halachas that were related in Mishnayos, and, you know, in a Mishnah, and a Braisa, but this is an Amora speaking. So as true as it is, but it's in a different category. Asks the Gemara, but we find that this very halacha was actually supported by a Braisa as well. So really, is Braisa related and should belong on our list? Voki also Ravin, when he came Omar, he says, Masiv. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina Toya. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina asked Akasha on this halacha with the river from a Mishnah regarding a Toya, a woman who is not sure what she's holding in her mouth. I'm not sure what he meant to ask. And Rashi, you know, relates to the Gemara back in later on in the Chavtes. In any case, there was some back and forth. He's not sure what the question was. Now, we assume my love. Assumingly, what he meant to say is, Loi tiyufta, it's not really a kasha, actually, alasiyata. The Mishnah there is actually going to support, the Braisa there is going to support Rabbi Shulman Levi's halacha of the woman passing through the river. So here you see that it's associated with the Braisa, and it should be on Rabbi Yechon's list. Loi, no. Dilma loi tiyufta, loi siyata. Maybe what he meant to say is, it's not a kasha, but it's not a support either. We're back to square one. It's Rabbi Shimon Levi speaking. It's an Amira. It's not on our list. Now, Rabbi Yechonon, or any Amira, gets up and presents, you know, lists. It's not just, you know, to amuse us. There is some sort of lesson there. These and not others. Limutimai. So what's not included on the list? What was omitted? Because this principle would not apply there. Perhaps Rabbi Yechon meant to exclude a case where there's a roif and there's a chazoka bahadeh. In this case, Rashi says bahadeh means against it. So on the one hand, you have a roif telling you, you know, one thing. On the other side of the scale, you have a chazoka against it. So was his point that in that type of case, you can't rule definitively based on the roif. Deloys are finan leis truma. So even though there's an issue of truma, of a tuma, you can't know for sure that she's tame, if there was truma involved, you can't burn it. Is that what Rabbi Yechon, is that what he meant to say? That in the case where there's roif against the chazaka, you can't just go with the roif? And by the way, Taisus asks, but in these three cases, just discussed, here too there's a roif versus a chazaka. And still, we say it's Vaday. Taisus makes a distinction. He says, and these three that we just discussed, it's a roiv gomer. It's a definite roiv. It's a high stakes roiv, high percentage roiv. It's an absolute roiv. As opposed to the next story in the Gemara with the children, you know, the toddler, does he play with creatures, with the guard? That's in percentages, yeah, it's 51%. For example, but it's not an overwhelming roiv. It's not a roiv gomer. It doesn't have the same, you know, it's not like 99.9. So in that case, the Gemara is suggesting, although it is a roiv, but since it's not an absolute roiv, and it's also being opposed by a chazaka, so maybe you can't adopt, you know, the roiv all the way to burn truma on account of that roiv. Is that what he meant to say? So that's the Gemara. But that's old news. Rabbi Yechon himself already taught us that point elsewhere. Am Rabbi Yechon Chadazimri taught it to us elsewhere. It's not. We have the story. Tinoik of a toddler, Hanimtzo b'yad tzad ha'isa, standing beside the mother's dough. He's making dough for challah, for Shabbos. And the child's there, batzak b'yad, and you see a glob of dough in his hand. What's the status of the batter? Rabbi Yechon retired. Chacham metamin. Chodor Meir, it's okay. Chacham say it's presumed tame. Why? Shadarka shatinuk tapech. Typically, a toddler is jumping around and he's metapech, he's tapping, he's shrotzim, he's in the garbage, he's touching all kinds of. And he would have touched something tame. And now, when he came over and sampled the batter, he was metame the whole batter. Okay, so that's the Chacham. V'amrinon, and the question was asked, my time in the Rav Meir, so why does Rav Meir say it's okay? The answer is, Kasava, he holds, look, I have to look at the broader picture, look at the full equation. Roiv tenoik is metapcha, true. Most kids are playing around with the shrotzim, and presumed to be tummy. But umiyut ein metapcha. There is a small percentage of kids don't do that. More, laid-back type. So you have a small percentage in favor. Plus, let's remember, the dough has a cheskas tahara. It was tahara until this point. So let's combine these two elements and team up against the raif. Combine the miut with the chazaka, and that cracks a hole in the raif. And that puts the raif at disadvantage, weakens the raif. So that's why contra made the dough is presumed to be tahor. V'rabbanan, they respond, hold it. Miuta. Come on, let's say dami. We don't reckon with mute versus a raif. Big machlekes, or mayor holds that always cheshish la mute. We have to be concerned even about a mute. Rabbanan say, a mute is obsolete relative to a raif. So what are we left with? We have a raif. Forget about the mute. You have a raif versus chazak. Raif says, well, most kids are playing with the garbage, they're metame. You have chazaka, the dough, which had been tar until now. Let's assume it maintained that status. That's a raif versus a chazaka. For ruba the chazaka, who wins? Ruba adaf, the raif wins. Okay, so the raif wins. What now? The dough has to be assumed as tame. But all the way, v'amar shlokish, yup, mishum b'yesha, zui chazaka. This assumption, this raif, that the dough became tame, is so strong, she's soifen, alayas ha-truma, even if it's truma, you burn it. Although the Rav says it should be tummy, but not to the point that we know for sure that we're going to burn truma based on this conclusion. So Rav Yechon himself already told us that even though there's a Rav, it doesn't take us all the way to town. So back to our question. Rav Yechon presented that list of three. What was he coming to rule out? Elo l'muti ruba de Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, we have another candidate. There's another story which relates to a raif, and the point was that over there, despite the raif element, you're not going to conclude conclusively to the point of burning truma. It's not hapelas chatich. An isha discharges this solid mass. Now we're meant to know that an isha can become tummy by experiencing dam. That's tumas nida or tumas ziva. Then we have tumas later, provided she birthed something which has validity, halachic validity. But now it's a solid mass, like a flesh. Rashi says, "Bli tzura has no formation. It doesn't look like a fetus. Doesn't." So she's certainly not going to be tummy as a lettuce. Doesn't qualify as a vlad. But what about dam nida? Okay, neshima dam tmei v'malach tayir. If there's dam alongside it, fine. She's dam nida. Otherwise, she's tor. Because the chaticha itself is not considered dam. That's the Chachamim's opinion. Rabbi Doimer, no. Whether or not there's dam alongside, she's tummy. You know why? Because this glob itself qualifies as dam nida. It's dam, which is sort of congealed. It took on a solid form. Rabbi Doimer only applied tumma when the solid mass presents as one of those four types of red that we'll discuss by the Hashem in the next Mishnah, which qualify as the proper color of Dam Nida, which Amitami the Isha. Despite the fact that it's in solid form. Aval Shel Shar Mine Damim Torah, but if it has a different color, it's orange, it's yellow. Which, if it would be liquid, it would not be Dam Nida. Likewise, in solid form, it doesn't have Dam Nida status either. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he had a different approach. Shall Arba Minei Dam Dimer Kol Tmei. Even Rabbanu would agree of this mass has those qualifying colors, those four qualifying, you know, types of reds. Of course, all agree it's tame because it's dam nida in a solid form. V'shalashar mine damim v'yakol tohir. On the other hand, if it's you know, off colors, yellow, whatever, all agree it's tar. Lo nechal ku elav shei pila. Beinu yadas my pila. Meaning, if it's definitely red, all agree. This is dam nida in a solid form. If it's purple, green, all agree it's tar. Question is, if she discharged and she doesn't know, she can't find it, it's gone. Before we had a chance to take a look. Shall we assume? Most likely it was dam nida, was red. Or do we say maybe not? Rabbi the Sover Zilbos Harif Chatiches followed the majority element. Harif Chatiches Shalaber made a dam havyan. We know for a fact that most of these things are comprised of qualifying colors. And therefore she's tummy. For Rabbi the Sover Zilbos Harif Chatiches Lamini, we don't go with the Raif. They hold that, Rashi says, they hold that, Lois Virlo Harif Chatiches Shada. Who says that most chatiches are comprised of material presenting these, you know, four colors of red? Who says it was a qualifying red? And therefore she's not tamei nida. Oh, explains Rashi. That's what Reichen was teaching us. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that she's tamei nida, but don't think it's a vade. It's not definite. There's a strong chance that she's Tameh. We have to assume so. But after all, it is just a suffix. Perhaps it's not a, you know, 99.9. It's not a rave, you know, gummer. It's a bit more than 50%, but it's not an overwhelming rave, in which case it still remains somewhat of a suffix. And if she touches truma, you can't burn the truma. You leave it in limbo. You don't eat, you don't burn, etc. Okay, pretty short off. We had Rabbi Yechanan's list of three Mekaymes with Chachamim adopted the Rav all the way. And the Gemara explained that it was a list limited to questions of Tumah, more specifically Tumah ben Isha. So the three cases were the Makar, that's the dam that was found, and presumably you have come from the Makar. We have the Shulya, which is presumed to have contained a Vlad, and the Mapelas Yad Chatucha, which is presumed to have come from a proper Guf, in which case she's Tameh 2 months later. What was specifically left off the list? That was the last case of the Chaticha here, that she was Mother Chaticha, where even according to Behuda, we assume that it's comprised of an Amnina, not to the point that we are Vadai, and not to the point that we're going to burn Truma. Where else do we find that Roiv determines status? Definitively, we have the case of the meat found in the street. 9 stores are kosher. It's presumed to be kosher. We have the creature separating from the bunch. Since most of them were tar, it's also considered tar. We find the case of the isha through the river there. We presume that the she discharged something which has blood status, and she is tamei. We have the story about the tinoik, with the dough, where Remeir says tar because he teams up the miut with the chazaka versus the roiv. Rabbanan say no, miut has nothing to say relative to a roiv. It's just because we have a roiv versus a chazaka, in which case, according to Rabbi Yechanan, although the roiv would carry the day, but not to the point that it's badai, in which case the truma we left in limbo without burning. Okay, all the best to you and atzlacha rab.